So Alvin York returned to his Tennessee hills, hoping along the way to discern God's will.
And being a church-going man, the first place Alvin went was to that little town chapel where he first saw the light. He sat down in his pew and had a little talk with God about the important decision he had to make.
Thanks for bringing me back, O Lord. I miss this here church. I'm hoping you'll talk to me and you'll help me understand what you want me to do in this mess. Because right now, it's just all rattling around. Well, I guess I'm as confused as Adam on Mother's Day.
Alvin? Well, I thought it was you.
Howdy, Pastor.
I looked out of the window of my shop. I saw somebody walking into church, and I said to myself, that looks like Alvin York. And it is.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing here, son? You ain't run off, have you?
No, sir. No, I ain't.
They booted you out then. Good.
Oh, no, they ain't booted me out neither, Pastor. They just gave me time to think.
Well, I never heard of the military letting anyone do that.
Well, I guess they're making an exception for me.
Have you been home yet?
No, sir. No, I came straight here.
Well, your ma and Gracie have been worried sick. In fact, they were here praying for you not an hour ago.
Well, I'd head home.
Oh, no need. They're back at the store. I didn't dare tell him I saw you without making sure first. Come on, they're in for a big surprise.
Oh, this is nice.
Oh, I like that lace.
Ladies, I think you ought to put down them fabric spools so you don't drop them and get them all dirty.
Well, what are you talking about, Pastor?
And why did you rush out of the store like your hair was on fire?
Well, this is why. Get in here, boy.
Hello, Ma. Oh. Hello, Miss Gracie.
Alvin?
Oh, Lord have mercy, Ma. Alvin.
Alvin, you're home. You're really home.
Yes, ma'am. It's me. It is. It is me.
Alvin, son, this is an answer to my very prayer.
I hope so. I hope so, Ma. Though it may not be the answer you think it is.
What does that mean?
You know, I've got 10 days to see if I can get my mind around fighting in this war.
You mean you gotta go back?
If I decide to fight, yes.
Then there's nothing to get your mind around, Alvin. Tell him no and be done with
it. Well, it ain't that easy, Miss Gracie.
Why not?
Well, it's...
I know what it is. You got yourself a crisis of conscience.
What? You ain't thinking of fighting, are you?
I don't know, Gracie. I'm going up on the mountain to think and to pray.
That makes no sense.
Yes, it does, Gracie. It comes a time when a man has to take what he's been taught and turn it into what he truly believes. You'll come to the right answer, Alvin. I know it.
Son, when are you going up to the mountain?
In the morning. Oh. Today, I'm spending with you all.
Oh, son. Oh, Alvin.
Alvin got up early the next morning and set out. He found his thinking spot and sat and thought and read his Bible and prayed.
Dear Lord, I'm all jumbled up over this war business. Now, what I can't figure out is whether it be right or wrong. And if it is wrong and all we're doing is fighting for some foreigners, then, well, Lord, I'm just not wanting to move, Lord, until I know what it is you want me to do. So I reckon I just sit here and wait for you to tell me.
And so Private Alvin York spent 2 days on the mountainside.
And two nights.
Yes, that goes without saying.
Well, not really, because I just said it.
Indeed you did, and thank you, Mr. Hollard. Alvin York wrestled over his dilemma, reading through many passages of Scripture, including verses where God sent the Israelites to war and others that proclaimed peace. He eventually came to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9.
Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers.
And then he turned to the inside cover of his Bible, the one Pastor Pyle had given to him, and read the pastor's inscription.
O God, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future broadening way, in peace that only thou can give, with thee, O Master, let me live.
And it was right then that York knew exactly what he needed to do.
Well, not exactly. We can't be certain from his diaries and accounts.
Oh, are you telling a story or giving statistics?
Well, I was only saying
we do know that he went back to the cabin to tell his family, Gracie and Pastor Pyle, what happened.
I done chewed this bone clean, thinking everything through. I know fighting ain't right, but I also been brought up to believe in this here country of ours. It is a sorrowful thing when your God and your country can't seem to see eye to eye. One moment up there, I'd make up my mind that God didn't want me to fight. The next moment, I'd think I should follow Uncle Sam and get my gun and just get after it. Kind of wanted to do both, but I couldn't figure out how to be a good Christian and a good American at the same time.
I would hope you'd choose to be a good Christian, son. And, and if by being a good Christian, you don't murder anyone.
Well, now, Pastor, that's just the thing. I was thinking over the difference between murder and killing, because there is a difference between the two. And then I found this here verse. Love always protects.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, my captain says we have a duty to protect our country, and I reckon he's right about that. I mean, if a man busted in the door right now and he threatened to hurt any one of you, well, I wouldn't think twice about stopping him. I love you, and I'd do whatever I could to protect you.
Yeah, them are old arguments, son.
I know that, I realize, but now they're my arguments, because I've come to believe them.
So, what did you decide then, Elvin?
It was right there in front of me, Miss Gracie. Yeah. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, I thunk on that for a long spell, and then I realized that making peace without fighting, of course, is the best thing. But sometimes the only way to make peace is to fight for it. Like we have with this war. There will be no peace without winning it.
Oh.
So if I do my part the best I can, well, then I am a peacemaker.
Oh, you're going to fight then, son?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am.
Wait just a minute, Elvin York. It's one thing you going over there to kill, and it's another when someone over there wants to kill you.
Yes.
It sure is.
Is that what you're afraid of, Miss Gracie?
What do you think? Why do you think we pray for you every day?
Every day?
A lot of folks are dying over there.
That's true enough. But it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have to do what's right, even if it leads to the fiery furnace.
God got them out of there.
He did. And I believe he'll get me out of this one. But even if God don't bring me back safe, I'm still doing what he done told me to do. And that right there, that's the important thing.
Well, all right then, Elvin. I'm with you. I don't agree for myself, but I trust you got your conscience scrubbed clean.
I believe I have.
Then you'd be wrong not to go.
I'll be praying your way through your fiery furnace, son.
Thank you, Ma. Thank you. Gracie.
I don't like you going off to war, Elvin. But I'll pray for you every day. I promise.
So Elvin York went back to camp and told Captain Danforth his decision.
I'm very glad to hear it, York. We can use a good man like you.
Thank you, sir.
And don't worry. I don't believe it'll be long before peace is made.
I'll do whatever I can to help that along, Captain.
And so Mr. Alvin York, a man who didn't want to kill anybody, went back to his company and off to war. And the real test of his faith was about to come. Alvin York and the other men of the 82nd Division were sent all the way to Germany.
They fought in France.
Yeah, but the war was with Germany.
It was. However, France was under siege, and as their ally, the American troops went to assist them on the Western Front.
So why was France attacked?
Well, France and Russia were allies as a result of the Franco-Russian alliance in 1892, followed by the Anglo-Russian Convention of 1907 and the Entente Cordiale, which created the informal Triple Entente.
Forget I asked.
Very well. As previously noted, Alvin York was aboard ship and on his way to war with Germany.
In France.
Le Havre, to be precise.
Well, this is it, boys. Time for the 82nd to show the Kaiser what we're made of. What do you say, Robert?
You know what the posters say. Beat back the Huns. I say we're gonna do it.
This is your first time on the ocean, isn't it, Alvin?
Yep,
it is, Murray. What do you think of it? Oh, looks like a success. Too much water for me, though.
The 82nd Division arrived at the battle lines near Rambecu, France on June 26, 1918.
It was the first combat experience Alvin York's battalion had faced. And although Rambaku was a fairly quiet area with no real action to speak of, some nearby snipers did make them nervous.
Now keep your head down. I don't have a good feeling about this.
I don't know about you boys, but I'd rather get out of this trench and take my chances fighting. I mean, being below ground is okay for a while, but if we stay down here too long, it might become a permanent condition.
Listen, Harry, if you want to go up top and take a look around, be my guest. And don't be shy about stopping any bullets that come my way.
You know, there's something to be said for staying in this bunker after all.
It's no use fretting, fellas. You never hear the one that gets you.
Well, what makes you such an expert, York?
Oh, I spent a lot of time with a gun, Murray. Back home in Tennessee, I could pick them turkeys off one by one. I gobble at them, they raise up their heads, and that was that.
Well, that's what we are, sitting turkeys.
That's sitting ducks.
Ain't nothing gonna happen outside of what is supposed to happen. This here Bible, it is the word of God. And it says that we should not be afraid, for the Lord goes with us and won't fail us, nor forsake us. And he also says in here that he didn't give us no spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind.
Yeah, I'm not sure Murray has worked out the part about a sound mind. You know, maybe I should borrow that Bible for a while, Alvin.
Oh, I tell you, them boys were as nervous as a goose at a pillow factory.
Huh?
Over the next few months, York's division traveled from one place to another, fighting their way through the thick woods and closer to the heavier fighting. Heavier artillery came at them thick and fast, and one day, it had them pinned down.
In his diary, he says, and I quote, "After you've been at the front, you can almost tell where the shells are going to burst and what size they are. This one morning, they were close, but not close enough to scare us, and then they got closer. And we decided not to take no chances. We dug. I've dug on farms and in gardens and in roadwork and on the railroad. But it takes big shells dropping close to make you really dig. And I'm telling you, the dirt was a flying."
Well, Eugene, that wasn't bad.
Unquote.
They're getting the range figured out.
Yeah. That one was maybe 30 yards off.
That was a light Minenwerfer, though.
Minenwerfer?
Yeah, it's a German for mine thrower. Mortar shell, you know.
Why would I know? Why would you know?
You have to pay closer attention, Murray. Listen and write things down like Alvin there. He's writing all the time.
Yeah, to his girlfriend back home again, I'll wager.
No, Harry. This here's my journal.
A journal? So you're writing about us in there, Alvin? Describing my rugged good looks?
You're in here, Robert.
That's no more than 20 yards. You don't suppose those guys have a good bead on us, do you?
Let's hope it was a lucky shot.
Lucky nothing. I think Alvin's writing secret messages to the Germans.
Nope, I'm writing down every word you boys are saying. Someday folks will read this and wonder how I ever put up with you.
15 yards. That was a big one.
Yeah, maybe we should start digging.
We're already 10 feet down. We start digging anymore and we'll be fighting the Chinese.
All the same, I'd feel better if... Oh!
Everyone all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
That was close.
Dig, boys, dig!
Within a month, York's battalion joined in the push through an area called San Miguel. It was rough going, seeing as they were on the front lines. Several men were killed as soon as they went over the top. After a fierce battle, the boys captured the town of Noroy. Them boys were becoming fine soldiers, and they considered one another just like family.
German officer?
Spread out, gents. The hero of Noroy needs to sit down.
Hero? What hero?
Come on, is anyone gonna deny that I did some amazing shooting today?
You did go through a pile of bullets, Harry. No doubt about that.
Thanks. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm thinking we should keep on the offensive. Take this fight to downtown Berlin.
We keep fighting the way we did today, we all gonna be there in no time.
And not all of us.
Yeah, we did leave a lot of good men behind us. Seems like we should say something. In honor of them, you know?
Go on, Alvin. You're the closest we have to a preacher. Be eloquent.
Well, all right. Goodbye, old pals. Your body sleeps beneath the sod. Your soul, I pray, has gone back home to God. Amen.
Amen? Amen, that's it? That's all you got? I thought maybe you'd quote a Bible verse or something.
Ain't no verse that can describe what's going on in this war, Harry.
True. What was that?
What?
Thought I heard a goat. You hear that?
How would you know what a goat sounds like? You probably never even laid eyes on one.
I know what a goat sounds like.
Yeah?
It sounds like that.
Hiya, boys.
Robert, a nice goat.
Thanks.
Yeah, where'd you get it?
There's this big storehouse just over the hill. A few of the boys grabbed some Belgian rabbits. I found this milk goat. He looked, lost, like he needed a friend. I decided to help him out.
To help yourself is more like it. Come on.
Whoa!
Oh, it's the captain.
Kaczynski!
Tin hut!
At ease. All except you, Kaczynski.
Oh.
What in the blazes are you up to?
Sir?
You've got a goat. Last I checked, this was an army, not a 4-H club.
No, sir.
Well, Private, explain yourself.
Sir, I just brought him back to camp to put a little cream in our coffee.
very well. But I expect you to take that animal back to its owner before you bunk down. We're soldiers, not thieves.
Yes, sir.
Which brings me to the point. You're going to be tempted by the local livestock, vegetable gardens, and fruit. Resist the temptation. I've heard reports that German observation balloons are flying over the area. I don't want anyone to get killed. Not for a bite of an apple, nor for a goat. Understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir.
Carry on.
Whew. Doesn't really expect anyone to follow that order, does he?
Hardly. There's a huge vineyard back over there. Grapes as big as rocks. I might swing by when I drop off the goat.
Grapes, huh? I surely am fond of grapes.
Yeah. I'm gonna stick with the cream. Fill her up, Kaczynski.
Right. Just hold your cup right there.
Okay. Here, go.
I'd heard that several of the men snuck out to get some grapes, so I told them all to stay in camp. The thing is, I didn't take my own advice. I wanted some of those grapes, so I disobeyed my own order and snuck out to get some. As soon as I reached the vineyard, a bomb exploded nearby. The next thing I knew, I was run over by one of my men trying to get clear of the shells. It was York. You should have seen the look on his face.
Shortly after that, Alvin's battalion was given orders to proceed to the Argonne Forest.
Oh, boy.
Where the heaviest fighting was taking place.
Oh.
September 26, 1918. The Battle of the Argonne launches. Stretching along the entire Western Front, more than a million U.S. troops charge into the woods in an effort to end the war. German artillery and machine gun fire is relentless.
Stay low, men. Keep to the trenches.
Robert, don't you think them planes up there sound like a swarm of angry hornets?
Sounds like the wrath of God to me.
Only man would ever think of creating such an awful thing as them bombs.
I wish we were back at camp reading over your Bible, eating grapes, drinking coffee.
With cream.
Yeah, cream. I'm afraid, Alvin. I'm really afraid.
I'll pray, Robert.
Thanks, Alvin.
Lord, this is a right tough fix we're in here. I'm praying that you'll see us through it. Like your son said, though, not our will, but your will be done.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Alvin. I feel better.
Oh, that was a close one. You all right, Robert? 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 Robert!